It's from Colossians 3:23-24. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. Matthew 25, verses 14-23. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant who with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." This is the word of the Lord.
I'll leave you to read how it ends. Christian serving isn't an event, but a lifelong calling. Let me just say that again. Christian serving isn't an event, but a lifelong calling. I want to begin this morning with a question. What makes a life significant? Not what makes a life successful or impressive, but what makes a life significant? What makes a life matter? Whether we realize it or not, every culture gives us an answer to that question. The culture we live in, our culture, says that significance comes through visibility. It says, be known, build your influence, grow your platform, make an impact, be seen. And if we absorb that story long enough, if we live in that story long enough, we begin to believe that it's what's visible that matters most, that the people on stage matter most, that public moments matter most, that impressive moments matter most, that celebrated matters matter most. Quietly, almost without noticing, we can begin to assume that ordinary faithfulness somehow matters less. But Jesus keeps interrupting and disrupting that story. He continually draws our attention to people that everyone else overlooks. A widow places 2 coins in an offering. A woman pours out perfume. A servant washes feet. Someone prays in secret. The unnoticed person becomes visible in the kingdom of God. The hidden becomes holy in the kingdom of God. And so today, as our series on serving draws to a close, I want us to recover something that perhaps the modern church desperately needs to understand afresh, that Christian serving isn't an event. It's not a ministry slot. It's not helping when it's convenient. It's not volunteering occasionally. Christian service, Christian serving is a lifelong calling. It's a lifelong calling into apprenticeship to Jesus. Some of the most important things we will ever do may never be seen by many people at all. Let me just say that again. Some of the most important things we do may never be seen by many people at all. This morning, we're going to give some time to consider who it is we're serving and how it's in serving that we are formed to become more like Jesus. We'll also consider how God sees what others can often overlook. And then finally, we'll consider what sustainable rhythms of serving and rest might look like. So as we begin, let's listen again to Paul's words in Colossians 3. He says, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ." Notice that word, whatever. Whatever you do, whatever we do. In these verses, Paul takes ordinary work and he lifts it into sacred space. He takes our everyday service and gives it eternal significance. Notice that too that Paul doesn't divide life into spiritual things and ordinary things. He doesn't say preaching matters, prayer matters, worship matters, and everything else is secondary. No, Paul says that whatever we do, cleaning, cooking, parenting, visiting, welcoming, encouraging one another, listening, showing up, whatever we do, we are to do it all as though we are working for the Lord. If we think about it, all Christian serving begins with an audience. It's at the heart of the vision for Christian service. But who is the audience? Who are we doing it for? It's a question that changes everything and that challenges everything. If we're honest, many of us serve for a whole variety of reasons, and perhaps as well with a human audience in mind. We serve for appreciation, for affirmation, bless you. We serve because people need us. We serve because we want to matter. But if that's our motivation for serving, then eventually we'll become exhausted because human applause, human affirmation is unstable, isn't it? People forget, people move on, people overlook us, people disappoint us. If our service is built on wanting recognition, then discouragement is the inevitable outcome. But here in this passage in Colossians, Paul relocates the entire center of serving. He says, you are not ultimately serving people. You are serving Christ. The meal you cook is for Christ. The prayer is for Christ. The hidden act is for Christ. The unseen sacrifice is for Christ. We are here to serve the audience of one, God alone, aligning our thoughts, actions, and motivations entirely for God's approval rather than for human praise or affirmation. What we notice here in our passage from Colossians is that as our service rises upwards, it rises upwards before it then moves outwards. So our service rises upwards before it then moves outwards. And if we have that understanding, that movement up and then out as our foundation, suddenly everything changes. You'll have heard me say before, because I've only got one sermon, that we become the habits that are training us to become, that our formation is happening all the time. That the question isn't, am I being formed, but rather, what is forming me? Phones and advertising, news and social media, our achievement culture is forming us. But into this culture of hurry, Jesus says, come to me. Come, follow me, take my yoke, learn from me, become like me. It's my belief that one of the ways in which we become more like Jesus, one of the ways in which Jesus forms us, is through our serving him. Every quiet act of love is training the soul. Every unseen yes is reshaping our desire. Every moment we choose service over self-centeredness becomes a moment of formation. When we serve in our kids' teams week by week, it isn't just helping out, it's forming us to become more like Jesus. When we pray for someone that no one else remembers, it isn't just ministry, it's forming us to become more like Jesus. When we arrive early, stay late, serve without thanks, love without reward, all of this is forming us to become more like Jesus. Because remember, Jesus himself moved downward. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. The creator of all things carried a towel. And as Rob pointed out in the first week of this series, the disciples wanted greatness that climbed upward, but Jesus revealed and modeled a greatness that climbed down. Serving changes us, it forms us, because it pulls and shapes us into the posture of Jesus himself. But here's a challenge. Eventually, almost anyone, everyone who served for some time asks the same question. Does this matter? Does what I'm doing matter? Maybe some of you have asked that recently or over the weeks that this series has been running. You've served, you've given, you've loved, you've stayed faithful. And nobody noticed. You kept showing up, you kept praying, you kept carrying responsibility and leading a ministry. You kept serving, and maybe there was no thank you, no recognition, no applause or affirmation, just ordinary faithfulness. A verse in Hebrews 6 speaks directly to that place, if that's where you're at this morning. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him. God will not forget. Think about that. Reflect on those words. God remembers what earth often overlooks. God remembers the prayers that nobody heard, the tears nobody saw, the service nobody celebrated, the faithfulness that nobody applauded. Many of you here this morning have served for years in this place, not just months, but years. You've led ministries, you've raised your families, you've visited people, supported others, you've prayed quietly, you've loved consistently. Perhaps today you feel tired. It may be that you even feel invisible. If that's where you are today, then hear God's word for you. You are not unseen. God sees, God remembers, God honors your hidden faithfulness, because the kingdom of God has never run on celebrity. It has always run on the life of faithful saints and servants, on ordinary people, on quiet obedience, on lifelong love. In much of his teaching, Jesus loved to use the image of seeds. I think one reason he did that is because seeds sort of offend our obsession with visibility, because seeds disappear, don't they? They go underground and become hidden. And for a while, it looks like there's nothing happening. There's no growth, no breakthrough, no evidence, just silence. But underneath the soil, the life is already moving. Roots are spreading. Strength is developing. Something hidden is becoming real. And the kingdom of God often works like that too. We want visible fruit, but God often begins with hidden roots. We want quick results, but God often forms and shapes things slowly. We want public impact, but God often begins in secret places. What we're to learn from this is that the hidden places matter, the unseen seasons matter, the ordinary moments matter. Because the goal of apprenticeship to Jesus isn't visibility, it is transformation. We can often end up living our lives looking to answer a question that Jesus isn't even asking. To be clear, Jesus is not asking, how impressive are you becoming? Rather, he's asking, are you becoming a person of love? Are you becoming faithful? Are you becoming more like me? In our passage from Matthew, Jesus tells the story of servants entrusted with responsibility, and eventually the master returns. What's striking is the language he uses. He doesn't say, well done, successful servant. He doesn't say, well done, influential servant. Rather, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful. It's a word that can feel almost countercultural now. Our culture celebrates innovation, speed, size, scale, and visibility. But Jesus celebrates faithfulness. Jesus celebrates a steady obedience. Jesus celebrates a long love. Jesus celebrates consistency. He celebrates our remaining. Sometimes we might imagine a calling as something dramatic, and it can be one moment, one breakthrough, one defining assignment. But perhaps calling in the kingdom of God is also sometimes quieter than that. Perhaps calling in the kingdom of God looks like keeping on showing up, keeping on praying, keeping on loving, keeping on serving, keeping on following Jesus. 10, 20, 30 years, still faithful, still soft-hearted, still available, still saying yes to all that God is calling us to. There is something deeply beautiful about a person who simply remains, someone who keeps walking with Jesus, who keeps loving people, who keeps serving quietly and faithfully. It's the kind of life that's never going to make the news headlines, but it's the kind of life that shines out in the kingdom of God. Now, there's something important to be said at this point, because whenever we talk about service and serving, there's a danger that needs to be named. Some people only hear, do more, try harder, push further, keep going, no matter what. But that is not the life that Jesus invites us into. Jesus never modeled frantic service. He withdrew, he rested, he prayed, he disappeared from the crowds, he took naps. It's been said that Jesus moved at the speed or at the pace of love. And if we are as apprentices of Jesus, we must learn his rhythms as well as his mission. Faithful service needs sustainability, otherwise we'll end up confusing burnout with devotion. And burnout is not holiness, exhaustion is not faithfulness. Some of us might need permission today to stop carrying things that Jesus never asked us to carry. Some of us might feel that we've become like human machines, always needed, always available, always producing, and our souls are tired. The invitation of Jesus is different. The invitation of Jesus in John 15 is to abide, to remain, to receive, to rest, and only then to serve. Because service without God's presence becomes performance. Service without rest becomes exhaustion, and service without prayer becomes striving. We cannot sustain lifelong faithfulness without adopting rhythms of grace. So perhaps the question is not, how much can I do? Perhaps the question is, what pace allows me to remain faithful for the long journey? I think it's a good, timely question to ask ourselves as a church family, as a PCC too. What's the pace that God is asking us as a church family to run at? So as I finish, we return to Jesus. Because this sermon is not serve harder, do more, do better. I could have preached one of those sermons, I'm sure I have at some point, but that's not how I sense God is wanting to shape St. Andrew's for the longer term. The center of our life together is always Jesus. Jesus is the faithful servant. He served when misunderstood. He served when rejected, when people walked away. He washed feet knowing betrayal was already in the room. He carried the cross while being mocked and remained faithful when applause disappeared. And at the cross, we see the ultimate act. No platform, no recognition, no earthly glory, just sacrificial love poured out. And because he served us first, we then are free to serve. Because he loved us first, we are free to love. Because he gave himself first, we are free to give. Christian service doesn't begin with effort. It begins with grace. We don't serve Jesus in order to earn his love. We serve because we've already received it. We don't serve to prove ourselves to Jesus. We serve because Christ has already called us his beloved. Jesus frees us from striving and instead invites us into joyful, faithful service. Now, there are a myriad number of ministries and ways in which you might look to serve Jesus in the life of St. Andrew's, but I'm going to leave you to do the work of asking God how you might serve him in this place. What I will say is that God has a purpose for the people, the Church of St. Andrew's, Goldsworth Park, and it will take all of us living out God's call on our lives to see it come to fruition. Where is God calling you to serve him in this place so that we might reflect God's heart to Goldsworth Park and beyond? So as I finish this morning, I just want to speak some words of encouragement over us. So to the parents raising children in faith, your work matters. To those serving quietly behind the scenes, your work matters. To the carers, the volunteers, the prayer warriors, the encouragers, the people no one notices, your faithfulness matters. To those who are tired, God sees you. To those who feel overlooked, God remembers. To those wondering if it's worth continuing, don't give up. The hidden years aren't wasted. The unseen acts aren't forgotten. Your quiet obedience is not insignificant. And to those who have not yet stepped into serving here, this is your invitation. This is your opportunity. The church isn't a gathering that we attend. It's a people that we become. Following Jesus means moving from consuming to participating, from watching to loving, from receiving to giving. Because apprenticeship to Jesus always becomes embodied. It always involves living out a life of faithful service. Love becomes action, grace becomes service, and faith becomes faithfulness. Finally, and perhaps you find it helpful to close your eyes at this point, imagine ourselves standing before Jesus one day, years from now, our lives behind us. No spotlight, no titles, no audience, just a life. Meals served, prayers prayed, people loved, hidden obedience, ordinary faithfulness. And Jesus looks at you. He's not asking how visible you became, how influential you are. He's not asking how impressive your ministry looked. There's only this. Were you faithful? And then you hear the words that every apprentice longs for. Well done, good and faithful servant. That is success in the kingdom. That is a life of faithful service. Because Christian serving isn't an event, but a lifelong calling, a lifetime of faithful apprenticeship to Jesus. Let's be quiet. And just give ourselves time to respond. There might be one or two or three thoughts or things that have resonated that you just want to hold on to. You want to consider further. Let's hold those things prayerfully before our loving God. And Jesus, as we respond, we just ask that you might stir afresh your spirit in this place, that we might take up the challenge and hear the invitation. to serve you, and in serving you, be formed to become more like you. So have your way in each one of us and in the life and ministries of St. Andrew's Church. Amen.